Hi.
I'm Anna. I grew up in Abitibi in a small city called Amos. And my family hails from Waskaganish community and AUSC, Cree Nation. I live here in Montreal, Georgia, for a couple of decades now.
So this podcast is called Our Medicines because I feel like it kind of represents how we come together as community and support each other and help each other and respect each other's space and hold space. So it's called in Cree, in Nehiowewin, Giano Mashkakewakan. So I guess we kind of met, you know, in the community, like organizing.
It was around accessing health services and the indigenous urban community in Montreal, especially women, spirit folks.
That was for the shelter. We went to do a presentation.
And I was working as a health navigator.
And so we've kind of kept meeting for different community organizing initiatives, and now we're friends.
That's it.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell me what you do in the community, or just tell me about you.
Well, I do different things in the community. Well, I can start with my involvement with the Black Indigenous Harm Reduction Alliance, which is a collective of different people, Indigenous and Black folks, that got together to really put an emphasis on the needs to have self-determined health and wellness services, care, support that is buying for us. I got involved in this collective. And we are working in prison, and we do monthly workshop on harm reduction. We invite folks to join us, and we have large holistic discussion around harm reduction, what it is to take care of ourselves while we are inside, and when we transit out of the prison and back to the community, and also in the prison community, what it means. And so we do that.
What is harm reduction?
Harm reduction, in for doing this in prison, I think for our collective member, it was because we really believe that until all of us are free, that we can't be free ourselves too, and that people that are prisoner, that are detained and incarcerated, really we need to be there to know that we care. We also have eyes and ears of what's happened, and be there in solidarity when they need our support. For example, different kind of stuff happen at Leclerc, known in the media, the resistance and the call for better condition in Leclerc. And there's a coalition of surveillance that's really like checking with the detainee, that our relation with the detainee, and that calling action to different governments and stuff, so their condition be better. So for us, it's really to have a presence there, also to have people from the Indigenous and the Black communities to be there when it's time to have like some workers in the community. They're often not from our community, and it's good to have like Black and Indigenous folks to represent and to be the person who brings some knowledge and organizing. And also, I've had experience to be incarcerated myself. Before, it was in Tanguay, and now the Tanguay has closed, and they moved them in Leclerc. So I think for me, my implication with this alliance is also for me like a buy-in for. I'm involved in ways that it's concerned me personally. In that case, it would be the people who are street involved and over-criminalized and profiled, and the people that are users, substances, and the people that might or do sell and trade sex, who are sex working in all those sex industries. So I feel that working in prison is so important. So that's one of my involvement.
And so, but lately you've been kind of developing more sort of initiatives around like sex work, Indigenous sex work, Indigenous sex workers, trying to create space for them. And
well, last summer we had our first retreat. The needs was really to gather. We're a small community where we find it difficult through mainstream sex worker organization and both indigenous organization to feel safe and included in those spaces, and also in the advocacy around what we need as indigenous people working in those trades. So we wanted to just have access to a bit of sharing knowledge around cultures, about our cultures and what we wanted to know more, and also talk about the real shit that's happening in those sex industries. It means like there's so much, well, there's different layers, but in my, like, I've been brought up in the sex worker advocacy movement and for many, many years, and I'm really an advocate for taking out the laws that target specifically sex workers in the criminal code, so we can really implement some labor's right, having a community that is over surveilled, the sex working community, those of us who are there in an exploitative way. So, because in all industry there's exploitation, the sex trade industries are not out of that. We have to deal with that, but having those criminal laws and those initiatives to surveil is really not good. But at the same time, what's happening is also the fact that with colonization and with the fact that we all have our bodies, our sexualities, our ways of thinking been a lot colonized, and we just started to, a couple of decades now, but we started back to reappropriate, share a story that was long, long not tell. A couple of families and clan remember. And so it's getting really interesting to see how we can talk about sex, how we can talk about the sex trades, and how people need support and like sovereignty over their bodies, and what we do with our time, and especially now these days, like in this capitalist like society, and how we survive and how we make room for people. So what we did is we gathered together so we can have those spaces to talk about those shit.
And what was the response? How did it go?
Well, it went well. We are really diverse community. Our experience are really well connected, but so different. We had similar experience about the fact that the majority of us, we were not like out in our community as people who are maybe like dance on the weekend, have been trading sex. So there's a lot of stigma in the communities and in urban setting. So that was really central about what we observe. And that's part of what some of us are going to need to be really courageous and be a bit more vocal about our experience. But then you can always pay for it, you know, after. So when you disclose, it's like,
you never know what's going to happen. And you mean so disclose within your community.
Yeah. The workplace, family.
So you had a chance to kind of talk about that.
Yeah, talked about it. Well, we did a couple of stuff around like ceremonies. Some of us are learning how to drum and learning new songs. And so we had that, we shared that a lot. So the sense of also like sharing knowledge, becoming a helper. So we all have different gifts, and sometimes we could see also what it means to translate it into the sex trade and how we do it in the work stuff. So last retreat, it was really funny because we just talked in the snow and we were in the country, and some of us, we were really laughing about the fact that we had like the skills to find a client on a corner, right? And we find, you know, at the end of the small road in the country by waiting on the side, and it was really funny. But we had fun, and it was really and we've been like supported with relation. Like you. People are supporting this initiative.
I do find that people, if you ask,
yeah,
people are wanting to help, you know, wanting to serve.
Yeah.
But sometimes they don't know, right?
That's it.
Yeah, and we have to tell them. And so, did you have an elder?
We all are connected with our elders in both our communities and in the urban community. Yeah, but it would have been great. We've been talking about this last retreat. It would really have benefited to have one. I remember the first elder I got in touch with that was really supportive around lived experience with this, the sex work, the sex trades, but it's not always like that. I've been in too many circles where I feel that there was a lot of
judgment.
Yeah. Around substance use, and two-spirit people, non-binary, trans folks, sex working people, you know, have this life, you know, the game. Yeah. We need our elder, but I also am a auntie in the sex work community.
Yeah, they know you as their auntie.
Well, I mean, this is what it is. I have more than 30 years of experience. That's what they call me. So I was just talking with this friend this morning and we're really funny, but that's it. Like, she could be my youngest sister or she could be my niece, but we're really like close. We have great relation. But
yeah, sometimes you just kind of move into those roles of like having that sort of leadership or care. So what have you found to be those responsibilities? Like, has it been too much or have you been...
I feel that these days I'm really reflecting on the fact that, our folks, our members were so at different space right now. Whatever the role I'm into, I need also, like, we all need support, and what it means to us might be different at this time that it was last summer and that it will be maybe next spring. Because I'm an auntie, because I am also like close to retirement. I've been through different stage, you know, back from the street to prison to escorting, you know, to the internet and back to whatever in crack houses and stuff. You know, I've been all the way around in different cities over the last two decades. And so I've realized that where my support right now as a auntie need to be a bit different. So I'm looking for other aunties, and I have other aunties around. And but the people, like, we all need different stuff. We're so diverse.
I know, I do realize, like, I work sometimes with youth, with a few people in community. And so I often feel like you do, like I'm, you know, and just in a certain role of like providing some support or, you know, and then I step back and I realize I need some support too, but you're just kind of always going and always working and always serving and always, you know, that you don't really realize, but I guess that's part of like self-care too. It's like, okay, hang on.
We need like
we need
auntie gathering.
Yeah, an auntie gathering. Care. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So we can because you also continue the learning, teaching.
And I always say that's part of like stepping back. Like, if you step back to care for yourself, someone else is going to step forward to take your place. So you don't need to worry. Someone's going to be there. Let someone else come in and take that space while you go and rest, and then you come forward and they come back. So it's just sort of like this dance all the time of like this kind of advocacy work and caring and service, you know. So how are you going forward in the care of your community?
I thought at first that gathering as a collective would give us spaces to create something that we could put out there, but we're not there.
Like what do you mean, create something?
Let's say, like, just be visible, maybe write an article, maybe do a mural. But then we were not there because our needs are so diverse, you know. Some are like looking for an opioid substitution treatment. Some are looking to raise their new family. Some are looking to maybe spend more time in their territory, back and forth. And we all have our own level of insecurity with food and basic stuff. So we've been to realize that, and my reflection today talking with you is we need to cover some basics. So we might be later be doing some more creative stuff, you know?
And what do you think the basics are?
Well, we've been supporting a lot around, you know, financial support. We've been doing a lot of emotional support.
So a lot of it is like daily responsive sort of actions to everybody's needs.
That's it. And try to stay in contact to build our relation and build new relation, and also be connected with our own community, you know, because we all also from other places.
Yeah.
Like, we have the sex trade and being indigenous in common, but also maybe we are living with HIV. Maybe we are working with missing and murdered indigenous women to raise awareness and support families. How we can also like build relation with all those communities.
It sort of sounds like maybe at the base, maybe you need some people who have a bit more consistency in their life, a foundation, creating that space that's secure for them. That can be difficult to build.
One thing that we would need is some organization to step in and work with us to, let's say, an emergency fund, because we have been facing ego resistance from organizations.
Have you proposed that to some organizations here and you found resistance?
Yeah.
Because egos.
I don't know. It's been a long time. I've tried. For the last two times that I organized with some help those retreat, I didn't ask them because I've tried to build relation. I've started years ago to start have this relation, but it didn't work out.
Do you feel that's because it's not organized by Indigenous sex workers?
They don't trust us because I've been contacting folks to have a conversation about like having an programming in their organization. And it's just like after they were just... Anyway, it's so complicated. I don't know what to say and we can say about it. But we will find a way to say that. It would be amazing. I was thinking about that this morning. All the people that are protecting the land and the water in solidarity with the Wet'suwet'en people, nation, and about reconciliation, being dead. And I've been thinking about that in some of the sex worker organizations that don't have just at least an Indigenous council, because I mean, in every city, there's people that are close, like street-based, working the internet, in Eroctic Bar. Indigenous folks are everywhere.
They're everywhere. And we need to be represented in those places that make these decisions and offer those services.
So I was thinking about how that's too bad, but some of our coolest sex work organization are not there yet. They don't even do reconciliation, or they do reconciliation the same way as Justin Trudeau is, you know. I'm sorry, but feminists who are so badass sometimes, they can be so fucked up.
There's still a lot of learning.
I have to still mention that there's a lot of Indigenous sex working people that trying to organize for a while, and Indigenous people, we were always central in those organizations. It's just often we don't have the recognition enough to have a real say.
To make the decisions.
For example, the work that is done here locally in the streets of Montreal, you know, it's mostly made by non-Indigenous women working with Indigenous women with the sex work.
So although they do have that sex work experience, they're not Indigenous.
That's it. And that's where, you know, when a woman, we say, oh, we all have the same experience. Yeah. No. We've learned, you know, we know Indigenous people and our sister from the Black. And
well, that's what I feel like that solidarity with Black folks comes in, because our communities have experienced that same kind of oppression.
That's
right?
It. So I think that we could really have more when we say, oh, we would love to organize ourselves. How come you don't just pitch in the money so we can organize it? Trust us. And then we can create something. And you don't need to sit there to observe and maybe try to control.
Man, then we'll come back and share.
Yeah. So I'm dreaming of that. It would be really, really good to have an Indigenous, you know, sex work, harm reduction all the time.
Wouldn't it be nice to have a designated space for that?
Yeah, it would be great. But during that time, well, there's a lot of non-sex working Indigenous folks that are really cool to be in relation with.
Yeah, now I'm like thinking of all these things. We need to organize like a retreat and ceremony and come together as like Two-Spirit, LGBTQ and sex workers, and just hang out and respect each other and eat food and listen to elders. And I do feel that some elders are starting to maybe open themselves up to Two-Spirit, queer folks, trans folks.
Yeah.
They're trying. I think it's hard for them, especially the ones that have, you know, had that residential school experience and have been involved with Catholicism and all of those things. They seem sometimes shy to speak about it, that they might say the wrong thing or which is kind of cool to see, you know, an older person like that with so much knowledge, that being vulnerable and trying to make space, you know?
Yeah, no, and I've seen it and I like it and it really means a lot.
And they may not have all the right words or know everything, but at least they're reaching out. Whereas some...
continue to enforce colonization thinking, you know, over the practice, basically. That's been called out a lot. I hear you.
So that's your work. And what about like your personal life? Do you want to talk about some of the people who are around you, who are the most important to you, who help you? I'm thinking of your daughters.
Yeah, of course, my two daughters. That was the two people I had in mind. Having kids is really bringing me to try to do always better, think more, bring more sweetness to me and how I am, how I communicate. When I grew up, we would never talk. Well, first, I grew up not in my community, so I've never heard really about the Cree culture growing up. So now that I'm connecting with parts of my cultures, I bring it in my family. And also bringing also in the Two-Spirit and the non-binary folks and talking about sexualities with my kids the way I was never talked about, and talking about the links with how we take care of the territory of this land and our care of our bodies, as I learned it a couple of years ago, you know, spending time with some cool Nietzsche's who really took time to make those connections, and also deconstruct whatever they're learning at school. Having those two kids, it brings me to really also make peace with who I am, where this life brought me. Talking about a lot of like substance use, but in a way that it really makes a clear statement about the fact that this life can be really traumatizing. You can have like different way or not to deal or cope, and sometimes people are just using drugs, not just to party, but be numb them out, that they can survive another day. So I'm trying to really create a safer space for my kids, so we talk about everything, and also have love to everyone. So when we see and meet and build relation with people that are in the street, we've been saying hi and sharing the little that we have with the same people over the years. And also some of the people were and are still there that time that I was there. And I feel that when my kids come back from the school, they've learned some stuff that really need to be deconstruct. So that's, you know, being a parent is challenging.
Is there anything else you want to tell me? Like how much you love me or like, I don't know.
Well, I really appreciate you. It's great to come and share that, your interest, you know.
I think what you're doing is really important, the harm reduction and the attention that you pay to the community, that people know and try to serve more.
Yeah, we're all learning, be in action, an action that people want us to do that makes sense for our community.
Hey, thank you.
Miigwech.
Yeah. Welcome. So we would say hi. What would you say in your language?
Miigwech.
Yeah.